Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on September 13th, 2015, and is entitled, Stepping Stones of the New Birth.
Dear Heavenly Father, and thank you for this opportunity we're gathering together, and you gave the wisdom for Pastor Paul to preach for the message. Also, you gave the people here, gave them a ear to hear your word, and also gave them open heart to receive your message. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. June, well done, friend. Thank you. Excellent. Well, I trust that you have your Bible in hand, and thank you for your attention. It's a big season here at Hope Chapel. You can see an OSL is our discipleship classes. They begin next Sunday at 3, and we would look forward to you signing up. I've got my Bible open to 1 Peter. You can see in the back of the bulletin is our outline. Hopefully, you'll fill that in and talk about it when you get into mini church. One of them starting even tomorrow night at 7. So we're taking a look. Here we are, friends. We have started our Sunday sermon series. It is the series that's entitled Building a Forever Faith. We're looking at 1 and 2 Peter. Peter is probably one of the most noteworthy of the apostles, but he only wrote 2 small little epistles. But man, does he pack it full of some great insight. And he is addressing an audience that is really running for their life. In other words, they've been scattered throughout the Roman Empire because of the persecution of the church. Last time we were together, how far did we get? 2 verses. Guess what? We're going to cover all of 3 verses. So we're making real progress, are we not? Real progress. So have you found 1 Peter yet? Chapter 1? We'll take a look. Today's message is entitled Stepping Stones of the New Birth. Stepping Stones of the New Birth. Before I read that with you, isn't it something about when a baby is born? Have you found that to be intriguing? I know you're all there for your own birth. That was pretty powerful and exquisite. But isn't it fun when you start to see children start to take their first steps? And I know I look way too young to have 4 grandchildren and a 5th one in the incubator. Isn't it very exciting? I mean, it is wonderful. Our oldest is Liv, soon to be 5. Then you have Silas, who just turned 2. Then you have, all of a sudden, little Ellis. We just celebrated her first birthday. And then Finley, just a few months old. And then David and Holly Chandler have another little boy coming in November. So with that, man, little Ellis, 1 years of age, and then taking her first step. Now, if you've ever seen a child take their first step, it becomes quite a day of independence, and things start to come off the tables and coffee tables. But it's an amazing thing to experience that. Today, God's wanting us to experience something too, those wonderful stepping stones of the new birth. And man, if anybody here has experienced Christ in their life, then you understand there needs to be those steps that help make us progress, and especially some words of encouragement that Peter is writing to a desperate group of Christians. Let's begin. Let's go at verse 1 where we began, and we'll read through to verse 5. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Friends, who knows if we are actually living in the last time by reason of maybe age and then God taking some of us home? Can certainly be those last time. We have one of 2 ways we're going to enter into that inheritance, either through the veil of death or the rapturing up of the church. But all indication is showing, man, things are changing rather quickly in our society. Please don't go it alone. Please get involved in church. Get involved in a mini church. Try it. Test the Lord and say, man, I'm going to see these next 2 months, see how mini church helps grow me and grow my relationship, getting those stabilizers going. Peter is addressing a church that has been scattered, the dispersion because of persecution. And he starts talking about those stepping stones, and there's three of them here. He lists in our verses 3-5 of a stepping stone of hope, as well as inheritance and power. Let's look at the first one here, verse 3. The verse 3 says, the new birth is a step toward hope. Verse 3, once again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Can you see that there? Letter A on our notes says the source is God's abundant mercy. I thank the Lord often for his mercy. Because if I say, Lord, I deserve better than this. If I really got what I was deserving, I would not be here. I'd be toast. But because of the Lord's mercy, and maybe that comes by revelation to you, that God has helped you and your family. His abundant mercy is the way the Scripture is laying it out, has begotten us again. And the reason why we take a look at that word begotten really is the same word or term that Jesus used when talking to a religious leader. That term is born again. Some of your modern translations might even refer to that. The begotten, remember that? Begotten of the Father, begotten us again, or born again. Jesus used that in John 3:3, when Nicodemus snuck over to Jesus at night in John chapter 3, because he's wanting to know and ask this, Jesus, we know that you must be from God, because no man can do what you're doing except he be sent by God. And he's wanting to know how to get saved, basically. What's the direction? And Jesus just cut right in and says, except a man be born again, he's not going to see the kingdom of God. And that trips him out. How can an old man be born again? And he starts to explain that. What a great term. Now, I don't know about you, when you were born again, or maybe you're still here just figuring whether you're going to pursue the Lord or not. But I know when I accepted Christ in my life, simple little Lord, I believe I not only need you, I believe there's something personal that you have for me, and it was him. My life changed. It was my brother Bob that was instrumental in leading me to the Lord. He's 6 years older than I am. He's also pastoring a Foursquare church. But he came to me and said, Paul, you've been born again. And that was it. That term was it. That made sense. That experience on the inside, something happened to me. I felt a change starting to take place. You try to describe that to people. Let's go to church. Maybe we'll figure something out. I'm praying more. Something's happening. And when he said, you've been born again, man, that was it. Ah! And I went to my mom and dad. I said, Mom and Dad, I've been born again. They said, oh, no. You're becoming a Protestant, aren't you? I know, Mom. Mom, it's a relationship with Jesus. And they just couldn't believe that. And they almost didn't come to my water baptism day until they started to see the change going on. It was a change working from the inside out. You've got to be born again. Why? It's the first step to experience this living hope. This living hope, that's what he's saying. Because of God's abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. That hope that every person needs, but not everybody has. There are some people still working through things. And that word hope is great. If I ever go to a church, I want it to be called maybe Hope. Maybe Hope Chapel. What do you think? You know, there are people in our society, maybe in your own family, they have no hope. How do they make it? They go through what you and I go through, and they don't have hope. We always have hope. Now, we do sorrow as Christians. Matter of fact, it says so clearly in 1 Thessalonians, if you were to take a look at 1 Thessalonians to the left of 1 Peter, just go a couple of small little books over. It talks about our main hope is Jesus is coming again and you are going to be brought in to heaven. Let me just read that. It's a great little portion you may want to write down. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. It says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren," talking to Christians, "concerning those who have fallen asleep." In other words, people have died before us. "Lest your sorrow as others who have no hope." There are people, I mean, if you want to see people, I mean, we could all put it on and say, "Ah, man, let's go party. It's going to be great," till a funeral happens. And I've done plenty of funerals where I don't think there's been a few where I don't think there was a single Christian in the midst. At least they didn't manifest any form of God talk. And even the deceased during the eulogy wasn't much of anything, except their sports and their endeavors and maybe their cooking skills. And there was not much hope there. I was so glad to be invited. I got to bring on some hope in Jesus. In Jesus. It goes on, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Always be with the Lord. Therefore, verse 18 says, "Comfort one another with these words." Man, a stepping stone for a Christian is, man, we got a living hope. Now, you could think that this could be the only part of your life. Can you imagine if this is somebody's only point of interest in their life? Because there's a lot of sorrow in our society. Some people feed on that and they can't get enough of the news. And they don't really even talk about the hope that's found in the abundant mercy of Jesus. Therefore, letter B is so important. The main reason, because of Christ's resurrection. Christ's resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4 is talking about this. Jesus is going to come. Who knows? We might hear a trumpet blast right now today. Wouldn't that be cool? Are you ready? I could hardly wait. I love the Lord. I can't wait to see him. And those who are dead are in the presence of God, 2 Corinthians 5:8. You might want to write that down. Be absent from the body is be present with the Lord. Well, why is there a resurrection? Because God, in his infinite wisdom, is going to redeem everything. So nothing's lost. How he's going to materialize, he's going to, Bible's clear, there's going to be a change that the mortal body will take on immortality. Woo! But that's our big hope. Things may be tough for some of you today, but hey, Peter is addressing a whole group that's given up everything, life, business, home. They weren't even sure, probably, if some of their relatives were still alive. But man, don't despair. You've got a living hope. People who are born again understand that. We're just passing on through here, and it's Christ's resurrection that did that. I love it when Jesus said in John 14:9, "Because I live, you will live also." I like, and it seems like every Easter, the National Geographic Channel always brings up evidence for Jesus' resurrection. Lee Strobel is one of those atheists. If you read any of his books, he pursued trying to disprove the resurrection, became a Christian. Man, does he write good. But there's three things, I won't hit a whole lot of them, but that they always talk about. First of all, Jesus predicted his own death and resurrection. I mean, he talked about there's logged recordings. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise. Remember in John 11:25-26? He says very clearly, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." John 11:26. Do you believe this? He says. And that was at Lazarus' funeral. And then he proves it. Lazarus, come forth. Woo! It's a good thing he didn't say other names because they would all popped out of the graves. He kind of pinpointed on the one dude. But he's going to call your name one day, some to a resurrection of life, some to a resurrection of non-life. And so when we take a look here, it's important for us to recognize our world's in despair. Seems like the younger generation needs to hear from you. You have hope. I had a 17-year-old girl write, "I'm pessimistic about my future. The whole world is so messed up. Just look at the news. Our whole generation needs help. We have no one to believe in, not one to trust in, but ourselves." That's a desperate line. Friends, maybe that's where you felt and sensed at one time in your life. But I'll tell you, I love what we're studying here. Peter laces out the importance with which hang in there. Hang in there for Jesus. If this is your only aim in life, is this planet, you might really get into some deep despair. How about the second stepping stone to the new birth? Number two, the new birth is a step toward inheritance. Look at verse 4. I'm back at 1 Peter chapter 1. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Now, I underline that, I highlight that, and I change "you" to Paul. And it's just a lot of fun. Take a look at that letter A, an incorruptible inheritance. Now, you know what an inheritance is. It's where it's either involving property or title or money, that it doesn't transfer ownership unless the person hits willing it to the person, dies. Friends, that's how that comes. Jesus died for you. And it's an amazing thing that he has things for us. Isn't it great that you plan ahead? You know the story I've shared. It's worth repeating. How we invest in our own life here on this planet. God has things for us. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "No man can lay any foundation which that has already been laid, Christ Jesus." Can't miss with that. Foundation through Christ's death and resurrection gives us a great life. But how do you build and I build on our life? That's why we're talking about building a forever faith. So the story goes that this carpenter, after working many years for one employer, says, "It's time for me to retire." And so in retiring, he says, "This is my date that I am going to retire." And so when that date came, just a couple of days into that, the owner of the company said, "Ben, I want you to do one more home building for me." He was very upset, Ben was. "You knew I was going to retire. Why are you doing this?" "Because you've been so good. I have this one project. Please do it for me before you retire." So he does it grudgingly, reluctantly, but he goes at it with a half-heartedness and gets some very shoddy work material, some very unskilled labor putting this home together. When it was all said and done, landscaped and everything, then he says, "Boss, the home is done." And the owner of the company had a set of keys and said, "Ben, here's the keys to your new home." Now he said, "If I knew that, I would have done differently." Friends, God has done so many great things, an inheritance for you. If we really know something's coming our way, we'll go at this planet a little bit differently. "I knew that." Well, it's recorded. Man, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Things that God has for us are amazing. How wonderful it is, and it talks about that. I love in Romans 8, 16 to 18, take a look at that, read that in your mini church. It says that you have been heirs and joint heirs with Jesus because of his resurrection. You're not just a product of his creation. The deep, profound love of God is, "I'm going to make you a son and daughter." "If I knew that, I would have acted differently." Yeah, you should. Your royalty. God has a plan for you, and it does not just stop here on this planet. He made you with a purpose, and it's a wonderful thing to enjoy and to see. How great is the love of God? And letter B, it's a heavenly inheritance. So we can say your best days are not here. They're still ahead. What a great hope. What a great experience. So, number three, the new birth is a step toward power. Look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So when you look here, verse 5 says, kept by the power of God. Letter A, the power to keep you secure. It really is safeguarded by God. You notice here, it says, letter B on our notes, power released by faith. You are kept by the power of God. Nothing's going to squelch it, remove it, change it. But the word faith is listed there. You are kept by the power of God through faith. Faith. Is it God's faith in what he's done for you? No, it's your faith. Did you recognize that you have a role to play? What if your faith is no longer? What if you just think something's going to happen? What if you haven't been in the Word for a while? You don't know what to believe. I haven't seen it. I don't know where to find it. Kept by the power of God through your faith. God's going to secure you. Man, it's your faith. Faith enough to say, man, I not only believe it, I'd like to actually talk about it. And so we see here through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So our world is increasingly unsafe, but isn't it nice to know that you're safe? You are safe, kept by the power of God. I like Jude. Jude is the book just before Revelation. While I welcome our worship team up, let's take a look at Jude, verse 24. Would you look at Jude? Jude, verse 24. In Jude, verse 24, check it out. It says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding glory or joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I like verse 24. Unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. Friends, there's something about the prayer of faith that God saves us in three categories. Past all of our sin and mistakes, he removes our sin. It's a sin issue Jesus came to deal with. It's sin that'll separate you from God. Sin that will cause you to go on a far little pilgrimage away from the Lord for maybe months, maybe years. But Jesus came, died for our sins. Second, presently he saves us right now, called sanctification. We just kind of hear his voice and we start making the adjustments. We talked about that last Sunday. And third, saving us future from the presence of sin. And when we get to glory, not only will we have a changed body that's not susceptible and tempted to sin and to blaspheme God by going away from him, because the body won't be an issue. My body, maybe you can attest to that, my body gives me more problems than the devil. And the other thing is there's no sin in heaven, so we'll never be tempted, never be tempted. So he saved us from the past. He's saving us currently. Man, when heaven opens up, that's when the struggle is done. Great. I'm going to invite you to close your Bibles with me. Would you do that? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. I'd like us to sing these verses here just a little bit. Would you close your Bibles and stand with me, and I'll be right back to pray us off. Friends, would you keep your eyes closed? I just wanted to ask if maybe you're here and you feel prepared and in need of Jesus as your Savior, or you've wandered away from the Lord and you recognize, man, it's time to get back. Would you just slip your hand up? I'd like to see that hand. I want to pray with you right now. Anyone there? Put that hand up. Okay, thank you. Go ahead and put that hand down. Anyone else? I need that. Thank you. Go ahead. Anyone else? Thank you. Please go ahead and put that hand out. Thank you so much. Thank you for your honesty. Praise God. Let me pray for you. And I want to encourage you. We do have, if you raised your hand and are in need of a Bible, please get one from our ushers on your way out. Now that you're a Christian, let's get you plugged in to Hope Chapel. good place, great presence of God, transform people all around you. But let me pray for those four hands as well as just for us as we head on out. And in so doing, let's enjoy one another's company. The company not only of angels in the presence of God's people, but Lord, thank you for those who raised their hand. You know you're working on their heart and life and their tenderness and openness to you. Lord, those that are around them, we may not know who raised their hand, but we pray, thanking God for bringing our guests here today, that you spoke so clearly to those individuals. Maybe we trust to all of us that we walk away from Hope Chapel today feeling more in love with Jesus than we ever have. Lord, remove our sin and our shame. Lord, may we just thank you, Almighty God, in your abundant mercy, have bestowed upon each and every one a living hope, especially those who are saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, renew and refresh each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, thank you. God's grace to you. We're going to dismiss you out the doors. Please don't leave home without shaking somebody's hand. God bless you. See you next Sunday.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.